sometimes we make statements that just don't make sense, at least not in the common intellectual way. You know, we say, you know, that joke just killed me, and yet we're standing there breathing. You know, we have all kinds of phrases. And sometimes the speaker is clueless. You ever been around somebody who said something and everybody else laughs and the speaker goes, what? You know. Gwen and I laugh about our conversation about our future. I was a seminarian and I was talking about my vicarage year was coming up and what we were going to do. And Gwen says, you know what you just did? And I go, no, I didn't. She said, yes, you did. I said, no, I didn't. She said, you just proposed to me. I said, no, I didn't. I was what ifing. She goes, why are you what ifing? I says, well, if you're going to turn me down, I don't want to ask you. Do you understand how we say things and we raise questions and sometimes, you know, until somebody points it out, we are absolutely clueless. Caiaphas is that way. Now, the scene was Lazarus had died. Jesus comes. And Lazarus has been in the grave, in the tomb, okay, for several days. And Jesus had them roll the stone away, and by commanding, Lazarus, come forth, come out, you know. And Lazarus does, and he's wrapped in the funeral shrouds and everything. And the people are amazed. You can imagine a football stadium going wild. Ah, you know, just everybody's cheering, right? Wrong. The irony that one is called to new life, Lazarus is raised from the dead, and that instigates the death of another. You know, WikiLeaks thinks it has its heyday and they're the newest, greatest thing, right? They aren't. The news of Lazarus went out and some people ran off and told the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the Jewish people, what was going on. It's like this great, awesome news, and here's the irony, they made it as if it was bad. Lazarus' new life is bad news for God's people. Do you see the contradiction? And that's where this text comes in. They have now learned of that. And you see, and you've heard what happened. You know, some went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. And now the chief priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're all afraid. When does new life and overcoming death become frightening as opposed to death? There's an irony there. And here they are. They think they're such a tremendous leadership. And you might remember the Old Testament role of the priest. And the priest had, and we really don't have much of a description, but we might call them like dice, in a sense, two pieces of stone, and they were identified or marked in such a way. One was called the ermine, and the other one's called the thurman, right? And they would put this in a basket or something, and the priest would draw these, and this would only happen after praying. And I don't mean gregariously praying, showman style pray, you know, evangelist TV kind of style pray. This is where the priest fasts and humbles himself before the Lord before one of these is drawn. And they're praying that God's will would be revealed through these two stones. Caiaphas is high priest. He hasn't fasted. He doesn't pray. He doesn't consult with God about what you want. God, what do you want to have happen here? But he tells the people how bad this is, that the people are starting to believe in Jesus. And he tells the people that, you know, if this goes on, then the Romans are going to destroy us. They're going to take our place and they're going to destroy our nation. God's people are going to lose and become nothing more because of Jesus. Now, what's the truth? The truth is that through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, God's people become bigger. The word went out. You have the day of Pentecost. You have the gospel being preached to, as the Bible would say, all the corners of the earth and the, you know, all places on the planet. And people are being saved and they come to the knowledge of salvation. And therefore, through Jesus Christ, they overcome sin, they overcome the devil, and they have eternal life. That's just the opposite of what the high priest is doing. And the high priest, he didn't consult God. He doesn't pray. He doesn't fast. And yet, you know, the irony is, do you remember what happens? The Bible says what Caiaphas says. And then I love, it's not in italics. It's in straight print. But he did not say this of his own accord, but the Holy Spirit. For the guy who doesn't consult God, God speaks through him. Isn't that irony? Isn't that a contradiction kind of thing? Caiaphas thinks he's so wise because of himself. But when he speaks the message from God, he's clueless. It is fitting. It is better that one should die for the many. Our journey as we follow Christ on the cross, on the way to the cross, as we recognize that it is fitting that the one dies for us who are many, for the times that we don't consult God, but we think we speak God's will, you know, for the times that we sound like Peter, when Peter was in the garden, when Jesus was arrested, and Peter draws the sword and chops off the ear of the, you know, the temple servant, and Jesus says, stop. Or the time that Jesus said, you know, the Son of Man will suffer and die and so forth, and Peter says, over my dead body. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You do not have the things of God in mind, but the things of man. Aren't we the people that speak like that? We say, I forgive you, but, you know, don't ever call me again. You know, we really aren't reconciled. We have all kinds of words in which we think we're speaking godly, but we're not. We think we're judging holy, but we're not. We are like Caiaphas. We throw the words around, and yet I'm always amazed about how God turns them and makes it for his will in his way. Tonight we are reminded that we're part of the Sanhedrin. We're part of the nation that's often afraid. If we really became devout believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'd lose our life. We'd lose our livelihood. We'd lose our fun. But isn't it really about, it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me? Sometimes when we try to hold on to life, we're actually grabbing on the way of death. Jesus going the way of the cross is the message of the irony of our own life in our own words. And as God's Spirit guides us to confess that, to repent of that, so God's Spirit guides us to hear His words of forgiveness, God's words of grace and mercy and peace. God is still speaking in the face of all the irony among humanity. God is still leading His people in the face of all of our sinful rebellion. God is still present among us, and yet even when we're rebellious, God is still saving souls. God is still speaking His truth. It is for us as we follow Jesus on the way to the cross to see those words and to hear them again and receive them and believe them and treasure them for the truth that they bring, the comfort that it gives, and the hope that it instills. Indeed, a long time ago, it was better that one should die for more than the many, for all. Amen.